Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Thank you, Carla, for that great song. What a great testimony that is today. Father God, as we pause on this morning, we pause to thank you once again for this privilege, for this opportunity to come together in corporate worship. Father, as we have sung these songs on grace today, and as we look at this sermon today, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us today to realize what grace means to each one of our lives, the eternal life that you came to make possible for sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to cover our sins and to raise victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And as Carla sang so beautifully about this morning, he's alive today. And that ought to make us excited, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Out of the book of Titus this morning, I want to read our passage found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. The songwriter put it this way: come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. This morning, I want to speak on the most important topic, I believe. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Let me tell you, apart from the grace of Almighty God, you and I could never know God. Apart from God's amazing grace, you and I would never be able to understand God. Apart from this wonderful, amazing grace, you and I would never be able to relate to God. And so this morning, I don't know of a word that is more important to the church than the word grace. You see, without grace, you and I would not be here this morning. Without grace, there would be no point in these doors opening today. Without grace, I wouldn't have a message or a ministry this morning. You see, without grace this morning, you and I would be in a hopeless filled world. Grace is anything that I need but don't deserve. That I could never repay, but God gives it to me anyway. The word grace is from the Greek word charis, that means favor or kindness. Grace is a favor done or a kindness shown or a benefit given. Grace is unearned. Grace is undeserved. Grace is a gift that God gives out of his compassionate love for those who call upon the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, while many believers understand what grace is, I also believe that there are many believers who do not understand what grace does. And that's the focus, that's the point for this passage this morning from the the pen of the Apostle Paul. First of all, three things today I want you to get. Grace saves us from sin's penalty. Secondly, grace strengthens us against sin's power. And thirdly, grace will separate us from sin's presence. This morning in verse 11, Paul said to Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now that one phrase, the grace of God that brings salvation, notice immediately that it's not the goodness of people that brings salvation. I know there are a lot of people in the world this morning that will say, well, if I just live a good life, if I go around doing good deeds, if I'm just kind to people and I really try to do the right thing, I think I'll go to heaven. Well, they totally misunderstand what God's grace is all about. You see, grace is not the sincerity of religion that brings salvation. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. And to understand what grace really is, you and I have to understand two things about it. First of all, grace is unconditional. There are no strings attached to God's grace. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I can do. Young people, we cannot do anything to earn the grace of Almighty God. There's no way we can work for it. There's not enough money in the world to buy God's grace, because God's grace is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." That means that salvation is not based on my performance. Salvation is based on God's promise. Salvation is not based on our merit. Salvation is based on God's mercy. Salvation is not based on my goodness. Salvation is based on God's amazing grace. I'm afraid many believers have a poor understanding of what grace really is. For example, out there in the business world, out there in the world of commerce, loan companies have what they call a grace period. Many of us probably know what that's like. If you don't pay your bill in a certain amount of time, they will give you usually a 5-day grace period, and then you'll get a late notice and they're going to give you a late charge. Well, I've got news for you and me this morning. That's not grace, that's probation. But the grace this morning that I want to speak about is totally unconditional. How do you spell the word salvation? Not literally, but some people will spell it with just two letters, D-O. You see, they think there's something that I must do to be saved. Now, whether that means joining a church, trying to do good works, giving alms to the poor, or whatever, but you have to do something in order to get it. And then there are some people that spell salvation, D-O-N, apostrophe T, don't. In other words, don't do certain things, like don't murder, don't rob, don't rape, don't steal, don't bully. You see, a lot of people just assume that you don't do some of these things and you're automatically saved. But I want you to know the way God spells salvation is done, D-O-N-E. There on the cross when he said, "Te telestai," it means it is finished. You see, there are no strings attached to this amazing grace. There's no fine print in the contract. And when you reach out through faith and ask Jesus Christ into your heart, God accepts you into the family of God. I've met folks, and you have too, they strive, they strain, they try, they yearn to earn the grace of God, when all you and I have to do is, by faith, receive his wonderful gift of salvation. Let me tell you, notice that phrase once again in Titus here. The grace of God that brings salvation. Let me tell you, God has personally, he's delivered salvation to us through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, what we have to do is just reach out by faith and believe and accept. Not only is his grace unconditional, no strings attached, but let me tell you, his grace is unmerited. You and I absolutely have his wonderful unmerited grace. You cannot understand what it means to have this relationship with God without understanding grace, because that's the only way that you and I can have a relationship with God. You see, the only place that grace is available is through Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 11, we see the phrase, "We believe it through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved." That we are saved. So the question this morning is this: why must this gift come through Jesus Christ? Why couldn't it have come through Muhammad? Why couldn't it have come through Buddha? Why couldn't it have come through Hare Krishna? Why couldn't it have come through a pastor? Why couldn't it have come through a priest? Let me tell you, the answer to that is because Jesus is the only one who paid for it. Nobody else has ever volunteered to pay for mine and your sins, nor has anyone ever died and shed their blood to cover our sins and to rise victorious for us other than Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, grace is certainly free, but grace is not cheap. Somebody had to pay for my sin and your sins, and that's what Jesus did, young people, 2,000 years ago. You and I cannot earn what's already been bought and paid for. You and I can receive it, or we can reject it, but you and I cannot earn it. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Let me tell you, grace saves from sin's penalty. Secondly, this morning, grace strengthens us against sin's power. In verse 12, it tells us that grace has appeared. It teaches us the very moment that you and I become a believer, we not only become a part of God's family, but we're enrolled in this school of life, if you will. We'll call it Grace University. And there's only one professor in this, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Dr. Grace, the first day that you and I go to that school, it teaches you and I two things. Number one, God loves you, and God loves me the way we are. And secondly, God loves you and me too much to let us stay that way. There are three lessons that you're taught over and over in this school of grace. Number one, we can leave the sinful life. We can leave the sinful life. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, well, I just can't live like I want to live. Let me tell you, you can if you live by the grace of Almighty God. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? You can either live in the power of the flesh and walk in the power of the flesh, or you can crucify the flesh. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 12 in our text in Titus 2 says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Now, some say that if you teach a person that he's saved by grace and that goodness and good works have nothing to do with receiving salvation, then a lot of people think, well, you just get saved and then you just go out and live any way you want to. Well, that's not what it means to be saved. Let me tell you, in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 4, for certain men for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in. Notice he says, among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Let me read that out of the New Living Translation. It says, some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's grace and forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. And Jude calls anyone who teaches this type of trash, Jude says they're godly. God's grace does not give you and me license to live life any way we want to. God's grace gives you and me the freedom to live as we ought to live once we've received the wonderful gift of eternal life. I know that a person has experienced the grace of God when two things are evident in his or her life. Number one, he or she cannot live like he or she used to live. Did you hear that this morning? Let me tell you, if you truly are a Christian this morning, if you truly are saved and the Holy Spirit is not convicting you of wrong in your life, you better check out your salvation experience. I know two things that ought to be true of anyone who claims the name of Jesus. He or she cannot live like they used to live. And secondly, he or she wants to live like he or she ought to live according to what God's Word has to say. Now, someone said, if your religion has not changed you, then you better change your religion. Let me tell you, when grace comes into your life, it not only gives you a love for God, but it gives you and me a hatred for sin. So not only do we learn in this school of grace that we can leave the sinful life, we can leave that. But secondly, in this school of grace, we also learn not only can we leave the sinful life, but we can live a sanctified life. And that word sanctified means we're set apart for God's will and God's glory. And that's why we read that in verse 12 in Titus chapter 2. We are to live how? Self-controlled, upright and godly lives. When? In this present age. Now, you may not realize it, but those three words take care of every part of our life. The Bible says that we are a body, a soul, and a spirit. First of all, we are to live, he said, how? Self-control. Young people, that means soberly, upright and godly lives. Now that deals with our inward life, and that's our soul. And through grace, we allow God to control our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes. Then it says here in Titus 2 that we are to live upright. That deals with my body. That deals with the outward life. We are to remember that Christ lives within us and we're representing Christ, and when Christ comes to live within us, we will simply live out the life that Christ would have us to live out. And then we are told there to live godly. That deals with my spirit or my upward life. I'm to live like God would have me live and the way God would want me to live. Now, here is the point. God not only gives you grace to live with him in heaven, but he gives you and me grace so that we can live for him in this present time upon this earth and make a difference in people's life. Let me tell you, there's a third thing that grace does there. We can love the servant life. What is grace? What is grace do for us? It makes us eager, or should make us eager to do that which is good. Grace will set us on fire to be right, to do right, and to act right, and to live right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it was a very troubled church. Paul was writing to those Christians, and there was a lot of fleshly things happening in their lives. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, the grace that saves you and me from sin is the grace that sends you and me into everyday life in the world that we live in to serve the Lord. There's a third thing this morning, and I'm finished. Grace will separate us from sin's presence. Grace will not only save us from sin's penalty, grace will not only strengthen us against sin's power, but third and lastly, grace will separate us from sin's presence. Notice the phrase, for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Young people, one day by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, is coming back. He's going to take us away from the very presence of sin. Jesus came the first time as a babe in Bethlehem and lived to be 33 years old to take our sins from us. He's coming the second time to take us out of a world of sin. And when he comes back one of these days, let me tell you, he's going to take us to his heavenly home. I don't know how often you think about heaven, but I can promise this, the older you get, the more you reflect upon it, and the more you will remember this, you won't need bars over your windows in heaven. You're not going to need a security system in your house when you get to heaven. Let me tell you, there'll be no criminals there except those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There are not going to be any jails there in heaven because there won't be any convicts. And let me tell you, it's all because of God's amazing grace. And when you and I understand grace, there's never going to be a better deal than that amazing grace. For your sin and my sin, God is willing to give to us his salvation. For mine and your failures, God's willing to give us forgiveness. For mine and your guilt, God is willing to give you and me his grace. And it's absolutely free. It's unconditional, no strings attached, but it's also unmerited. There is absolutely nothing you and I can do other than to reach out by faith and to believe and receive him as our Lord and Savior. The book of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18 gives these words, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. The Bible says that anyone who wants to come to Jesus can come to Jesus and be accepted, because that's what grace is all about. Let me tell you this morning, there's a lot of people in the world that will never reach out through faith and trust Jesus. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their self-worth. They're trusting in whatever it is that they think that they can get to heaven on. But I want you to know, the only way you can get to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the finished work at Calvary. That's why I love Gene Bartlett's song that he wrote many years ago. It says, grace so amazing is with me each day. For this great love I could never repay. Grace so amazing, though sinful I've been, God loved me so much in spite of my sin. Grace so amazing, grace undeserved. I'll ever praise him and joyfully serve. Grace so amazing and love so divine makes life worth living and brings joy sublime. Do you have this wonderful grace that God wants you to have? Let me tell you, you can this morning. But first of all, admitting I'm a sinner. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever Let me tell you, put your name in there. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I've got to admit, I'm a sinner. B, I've got to believe by faith. Through faith, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus shed his blood to cover my sins. Jesus was buried, Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus ascended into heaven, and Jesus is coming again one of these days. That's the gospel. I've got to believe that by faith. And then C, confess, Lord, forgive my sins. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Let me tell you, when you do that, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A promise, a guarantee. And let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus this morning, reach out and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we pause this morning, thank you for the privilege that we've had to be in your house. Thank you for the wonderful grace that you've taught us about this morning through your word and through your Son, Jesus Christ, who made a way so that we could go to heaven someday. If there's someone here, someone listening today somewhere through the broadcast, oh God, may they bow their head and receive Christ to know that they know that they know that they know that they've asked Jesus into their heart. Father, if there are people that just need to come down to these altars and pray this morning, may they just come right now and pray, maybe for someone. God, whatever the need is, if there's someone here that needs a church home, Lord, I pray you would just quicken their heart. And may they come and be a part of this great fellowship of believers. Father, this is your invitation in Christ's name. Amen.